And the Tinney County Commission is back from recess. First order of business this afternoon is the Health Department / Animal Control. Mr. Berry, would you like to join us up here at the microphone? How are you today?
I'm good.
Mr. Berry, your request that was sent in, the final request that was sent in, and you sent me copies of the emails of the review, and that's satisfactory to you as the final one that you turned, the final number that you turned in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a motion that we make an adjustment to the numbers and put his request in the budget.
Just for clarification, I'll second the motion. You were referring to restoring, basically paying them last year's, what we allocated last year, we're going to continue for 2012, which is the same amount. Is that right, Mr. Berry?
No.
Okay.
I had turned in a request that was somewhat more than last year, more than 2011, and you had approved the same as you had approved for 2011.
All right. Let me pull the... Maybe that's what I'm maybe thinking about.
Your motion is to make an adjustment to accept the figure that Mr. Berry submitted.
Turned in 198.
What's the exact figure, John?
198,565.
What did we allocate for you?
You allocated 180,895.
All right.
Which was the same as you had for 2000.
I'm good with the second now. I had the numbers backwards. I thought it was 169 going to 180-something, but it was 180-something to 190. Yes.
What I suggest that we do is, because if we want to amend the budget, we have to go through public hearing process, is that we take the balance from the 188.95 to the 198.565 and just overpay that amount of money within his budget, and it would come from contingency.
I agree with that.
Is that agreeable?
That way we don't have to amend the budget. But we'll
that
still...
way we don't have to amend the budget. There is a motion made and seconded to increase the amount to animal control for the year 2012 to the amount as originally requested at $198,565. Is there discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We will take care of that.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Berry.
We are doing some work out there. This is not on the agenda, but you will be receiving a notice of an open house on a Saturday morning sometimes in early April.
Okay.
So that you can see some of the things that
be wonderful.
We've done.
Excellent.
Be wonderful. Thank you, sir.
When you say early, that'd be like 10. Jim doesn't get up early.
Well, when I say early, I mean in the month.
Not time of day, but early.
We start out there about 5:30.
Not a problem. I'll be there.
Boards, commission. We have a number of board appointments.
I'm looking for my TCAD email. Do you have that handy? If not, I can find it real fast.
Mr. Houseman, we have a opening on the park board that came forward, and it's going to be my recommendation. In a motion to place Chet Dixon on the park board. Chet has a wealth of knowledge in that area.
I'll second the motion for discussion. Are we filling which unexpired term are we taking? Is it Jack? We had two vacant. Do we have one vacancy or two vacancies?
I believe it's one vacancy now.
And that's right. And we're just going to fill that. Mm-hmm. That unexpired term?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that.
There is a motion and a second to fill the unexpired term on the park board with Mr. Chet Dixon. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Dan, you need to get that information to
Jillian.
Jillian upstairs, okay. And contact info, et cetera, on Mr. Dixon.
She will send a letter out, and then a Sunshine Law book, I think, is what they've been sending out. I was looking for TCAD, but
TCAD has
three positions, and two of them have asked to be renewed.
And one gentleman has asked to step down.
Correct. Who did that email come from? Do you remember?
I thought I had it reaching down.
I apologize. I thought I had it too. And
on the two replacements, Jim, I don't have any problem whatsoever with reappointing on those.
I wasn't ready for the third one, but I just wanted to make sure the motion was complete. And one moment.
As a matter of fact, I'm not real sure how the boundaries lie on Mr. Charles MacArthur's
vacancy.
Vacancy. I'll have to get a copy of that older map and review that, but for purposes of having form in a meeting, the other two would be accept a motion as second a motion on those names.
I'm getting closer. Motion to appoint Jim Youngblood to District 3, Brian Caperton to District 5 of the Taney County Transportation Advisory Board.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to reappoint Jim Youngblood to District 3 and Brian Caperton to District 5 of the Taney County Transportation Advisory Board. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We have the one term left, and that's District 7, and I am in the same boat you are. I don't know the boundaries of that, Dan.
So we'll get that drawn up. And then I would move that we appoint Jeff Jackson to the Sewer Board.
I'll second that.
Motion has been made and seconded to appoint Jeff Jackson.
Yeah.
Jeff?
It's Jeff, isn't it? Yeah.
To the Taney County Regional Sewer District Board of Directors. And he would be filling the vacancy that we currently have that became vacant at the first of the year.
Correct.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Danny, do you remember if we have any vacancies at the airport board? Or are we current with that?
I think we're current with it.
Do we have a vacancy at the planning and zoning? I thought we had one more vacancy that I...
We have one for the planning and zoning, so but we don't have...
That same township.
Mm-hmm. There's actually, I've talked to two individuals, and I haven't contacted the third one that live in that area.
Are we talking about Big Creek?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't know how we can resolve this issue because we've had a vacancy for a while, so that region's not being represented.
Right.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Could we, I know statutorily we can't, we don't recreate the townships. That's the clerk's position. Is that correct?
Right.
But we've got a situation where planning and zoning is that big, that township is not having any representation right now.
Right. Oh. Without the other interview, I hate to make a motion on it, but I've got to.
In the breakout of precincts, Do you have a remote device that we could look at the registered voters from that area? Or do we need to go to the computer itself and the office and look at a list? Because if we need additional names, I think that's what we're going to need to do, is to go through those.
We can get a PSR request of every. I mean, we do registered voters. We can get a registered voter list of everybody in that township. That's easy to get. It would be my township, not precinct.
Right, but I. Is that what you're trying to think? Is there only one precinct in that township? And that's at the voting districts at the Mark Twain School. I can't remember if Bryant is there, if it's back. There's only one or two precincts there.
What would you like Jillian to prepare for us to move forward on something like that? I mean, that, I just feel bad for that vacancy. It's been many, many months.
Well.
And I know you've done a job talking to people.
Like I said, I've got two people in mind with the other person that just, if they hadn't said they wanted to contact me and talk to me about it, and we haven't got together and visited whether they're, what their interest is.
Well, let's hold off on looking to a list till you do that, because if you think you've got a recommendation, I'd like to hear it.
Okay.
All right.
Would you pass that down to Lynn? That's hers. Your lip cap is there also.
Best of my recollection, that's all the appointments besides that one P&Z group.
Audit. Gentlemen, I've prepared a memo that I would like to read into the record. Would you give a copy of that to Lynn for me, please? I'll give each of you a copy. As a result of questioned tax disbursements to schools, questioned expenditures throughout the county system, a system-wide lack of historic county purchasing knowledge, a lack of written agreements, general fixed assets questions, inequities regarding bidding procedures, special funds uses, travel expenditures, and a host of other unanswered questions, I have thoroughly reviewed what I believe to be the last comprehensive audit generated for Taney County through the Missouri State Auditor's Office for the 2 years ended December 31, 2001. The 10-year-old audit is filled with countless findings and recommendations throughout the county system for accounting procedures, checks and balances, expenditures, budgets, purchasing procedures, written agreements, taxation issues, and multiple other clearly defined challenges that Taney County needed to address. I'm sad to report that after my review of this audit, it is clear that most of the recommendations from the state were not implemented. We now find ourselves in a position where we must seek other comprehensive, we now find ourselves in a position where we must seek another comprehensive state audit to guide us back into compliance with sound rules, regulations, and previous findings of the Missouri State Auditor regarding this county. I know that a state audit will be costly. However, I believe that such an audit should be viewed as a constructive tool that will point this county to sound financial management practices and will fully pay for itself in a very short period of time. I'm not pointing a finger at any single elected official or department. I do believe, however, that through non-implementation of the state's recommendations, Taney County has moved further away from sound management practices and sound internal controls. I also believe we would be fiscally stronger today, and we would be providing more effective and efficient governmental services by having implemented recommendations the state auditor offered 10 years ago. It is the fiscal responsibility of the commission to ensure that all tax dollars are expended in accordance with Missouri law and that sound practices are maintained throughout the county system. With these comments in mind, I'm formally requesting that the Taney County Commission take whatever steps are necessary to request a comprehensive 3-year audit through the Missouri State Auditor's Office.
I make a motion that we proceed with the state audit.
I'll
second the motion with some discussion.
Motion's been made and seconded that we proceed with the pursuit of a state audit.
Yes. Over the past 6 or 9 months, we've talked about state audit off and on. We've got a variety of estimates, and I believe that, you know, obviously going through the budget process that we went through, there was a lot of things that, if there were some standards implemented, that we would have probably got through the process better. My first statement would be, we didn't budget a specific line item, so this would have to come from our contingency fund, which we have adequate funds for that. Do you, at this point, Ron, have any suggested ballpark figures what we're looking at?
Well, I've talked to other counties that have been involved in audits. I've also chatted with the state auditor's office. I know you've been in contact with the state auditor. An audit's going to cost anywhere from $75,000 to upwards of $125,000 based upon how comprehensive an audit that we request and how many years we ask to have audited. I believe that the county needs to go back far enough that we can take a look at what has taken place to put us where we are today. I don't think that a one-year audit's going to do that, and I believe that we need to look back a minimum of 2 and a maximum of 3 years. I know that when we were a third-class county, the last few years that we were audited on 2-year cycles. Prior to that, it was always 3-year cycles, and they are time-consuming. It's numerous months that it will take to complete this audit. If they, in fact, accept our request, and if I'm not mistaken, we have to work with our own local auditor and work through him to have this request granted. But if we reach that stage, we're going to find that there will be a number of people that take up residence here in the courthouse and sort through every iota of information that's within the county system. Question every elected official and department head, go through every set of minutes from whatever period of time that they're covering. I mean, a comprehensive audit looks at everything. And they take a look at how we handle money. They take a look at our taxation process. They take a look at what we're doing as a county commission and whether or not we are, in fact, doing what we are directed to do and mandated to do under Missouri law, as well as of every other department within the courthouse. Having been through a number of those, they were never pleasant. They were always comprehensive, time-consuming, and in reality a real bother because they were constantly asking questions. And the last audit that I was involved in, we didn't have space for them, so we set up desks in the hallway. But nonetheless, it was something that we did. And it is something that I believe will help put us back on the right track as a first-class county. More comments, gentlemen. I see that the auditor has come in. Rick?
When I visited the state audit about this, one of the things they suggested is if there are specific areas that you want to be taken care of, that can reduce your costs if you say, hey, look, this is where we want you to look at this, where we're confident we're okay with it, stuff like that. So you might want to consider that before you make any kind of request. And I don't know, that might be something that would be good for all elected officials to kind of get together and say, hey, we need this, because they will not only do just a financial audit, they'll do what we would call a performance audit and would determine if we're compliant with the statutes, would determine also if we're doing best practices, things like that, which is really an advantage, takes a lot more time. But in order to help them out also, I would think that we need to be prepared before we make the request, I think. So I would suggest you look at that.
I appreciate that. I can't think of any facet of county government that I don't think that we should have audited, personally, but I appreciate that and I understand that. The less things we have audited, the less cost that it's going to be.
Ron, would it be your thought process is in after this vote to have someone contact the state auditor, request a meeting to go through, like Rick says, the areas and kind of understand the scope of the project? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things to go between now and when the first auditor from the state comes in. So there's lots of steps. So is that what your thought is? And after the vote, then we go?
If we vote to move forward with the state audit, then I think that it would be wise to define exactly what we're going to go after. And then, in fact, we should sit down with members of the state auditor's office or Mr. Swike himself to talk about this audit. As I look back, and what I did was review the audit that's dated September 13, 2002, and it was for the years 2000 and 2001. And in going through the findings of this audit and looking at many of the challenges that we are facing today and some of the problematic areas that we have in county government, all of those were identified within this audit. And the auditor had specific recommendations that Taney County, in fact, could follow that would, as I said earlier, put us on the right track to sound fiscal operating procedures. But that obviously was not the choice back then. And I believe that we really need to take a look at everything that was addressed within this budget and certainly select those areas wherein changes weren't made. Have there been some changes made? Yes. But overall, the vast majority of recommendations were not followed. Yes, sir.
In an audit, they will not make management decisions. They will not indicate management decisions. They will look for waste, frauds, things like that. They may make suggestions that may not be the most financially sound suggestions, but they will be the suggestion that will make sure that there's less likelihood that there would be any problems as far as waste and fraud. And so
I didn't sit through the audit exit of September 13, 2002, but I sat through several audits that were prior to that. I believe this was the first audit that occurred after Taney County became a first-class county, and it was only because it fell within the audit
cycle that
the state auditor was undertaking at the time. But it is amazing that there are some recommendations in here where Missouri law is cited and where the official says, you know, we think we can do better by not following that. Well, it's not an option to not follow Missouri law. We need to be following Missouri law, and I think that we carefully need to, I'll have the girls make a copy of this for those of you that don't have a copy, but I hear what you're saying, Rick.
I guess my point was that we can't expect them to tell us how to be financially sound, but we can tell us how to expect them to tell us how to be financially fit so that we don't have to worry about waste and fraud.
Or competent.
More competent, yes. Better use of the funds that we have, not better cash flow values or anything like that.
I agree with you.
Well, we're in the comment section on this thing and the discussion from the first year that I came into office and reviewed some things going on. I have requested numerous times that a grand jury be held. And this procedure here is one that is one that has been needed. My request for a grand jury was one that was repeated year after year for the first few years I was here. And the purpose of those things are not, it's so we can have better county government and that every citizen in the county has a clear mind of how their government's being operated, and have no doubts as far as the financial spending and the procedures that take place. And that's the reason that that I have requested that many times, but this audit will be a step in that direction.
You know, I think each of us at different times during meetings has suggested that we work on a multiple-year fiscal plan for Taney County. Currently, we operate from January through December, which is state law. You build a budget, you spend the budget, and you build a new budget. But we have no, as I've said in the past, three-year plan or five-year plan for where we're going to be or how we're going to get there in the future. And I believe this would be an important part of that process. Other comments, gentlemen? No? The motion is for Taney County to pursue a comprehensive, did you say the number of years?
He did.
Three. Do you want me to make that motion in the end of the
No, I don't know what I was asking because I didn't know if you said three or maybe it was just a state audit. And if so, that's fine. We can make that decision later.
I think that's what I said, state audit, wasn't it?
State audit.
And the motion is that we pursue a state audit through the Missouri State Auditor's Office. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Purchasing. Bids. Mr. Erickson, could you join us? I have asked for this also to be put on the agenda. And the reason I did is because we have had council take a look at recent expenditures that are made within our departments within the county. It is incredibly difficult with the $4,500 90-day period for the purchase of anything within the county system. Let me better state that. We're charged with the responsibility of bidding if a purchase is going to be more than $4,500 within a 90-day period. Is that correct?
Correct.
And if we have the sheriff purchase from a vendor, we have the commission purchase from a vendor, the same vendor, and we have someone else purchase, unbeknownst to one another, and we purchased $4,501, we've violated the statutes.
Right.
And there are penalties in place for that. And as the council has just pointed out to us, if you're the last officer that does the purchasing, you're the one that could be liable for that expenditure. And we can't afford for that to happen, whether it be to us or whether it be to any other elected official or department head. And it's my belief that we need to develop a policy that will help ensure that that does not happen. Coincidentally, in the audit from 10 years ago, the exact same problem was brought out. The auditor's office and recommendation was that you develop a policy that will remedy this problem. And the answer from the commission was, we've done that. Well, I can't find that. So we need at least, from my perspective, to build that policy. We need to work on something. I know you've been looking at, into this, Ron, because we've chatted with you about it. I know you've talked with other counties. It's going to be complicated, is it not?
Yes.
That's a good one-word answer.
It's going to require quite a bit of accountability. I mean, it may even force us to, I know we've mentioned central purchasing, it may force us to go to central purchasing much faster to be able to account for everyone's expenditures. Like Sheriff Russell mentioned this morning, he can do everything right on his department, and we can do everything right in our department. That third department may come and be over, and all of a sudden we violated a statute that really there was no intent at all. So obviously we have to have something to stop gap measure to do this.
Would you like me to comment? Is that what I'm sensing here?
No, I thought the one word that yes was good.
You like it when I say yes or no, don't you? And refrain as much as I can.
If you've got some thoughts for us, I'd love to hear it, because okay. I need for us to enter into the process where we can make this happen.
Well, I think our biggest challenge, at least from my office, is training. And learn as you go is sometimes difficult. Ben Franklin said, experience is a cherished school, but fools learn no other way. And I've been fooling around with this since y'all hired me and took a little bit of training, but not much. I would request the commission to consider allowing me to spend more time, perhaps an entire week, with Boone County, for every time I ask her for minuscule spoon-fed advice, as I have an example here, it comes back rather complicated, and a 69-page document attached where she'll send me that and say, this is how we do it here. But Boone County has a staff. They have a purchasing staff. They have a full-time county attorney that's right next door to their director of purchasing. They confer with each other on a daily basis on all these issues. And even with that, her response to my question as to what system do you have in place to safeguard the $4,500 rule over 90-day purchasing goes along the lines of, yes, that's a very difficult challenge even for us to govern and monitor. And there will be instances where they go over that amount without strict term and supply contracts in place on various levels of various purchasing. It's difficult to do. I'm not even sure how to create a term and supply contract. I don't know who is the overseer of some of these contracts. In their case, their county clerk works closely with the director of purchasing on contracts. She monitors term and supply contracts. I'd love to go up there and spend some time with
Could you define what that is, the term and supply contract?
After studying the 69-page attachment on that one specific example, I'm not really sure. I mean, it has to do with a particular vendor that is engaged in the process of supplying certain goods and services to certain departments, but it's the monitoring of that that becomes a challenge. And so, I would request, number one, to spend some more time there. Obviously, Joanna has done an incredible job checking this. To be specific on a few challenges that we've had here, I've been alerted to one particular vendor, O'Reilly Automotive, who Road and Bridge and some other departments purchase from on a regular basis. And I actually did some research and contacted those people, O'Reilly, and found a cooperative purchasing arrangement option for us to use. And that includes attaching the contract number that's currently in place on the national level from O'Reilly, which I was a little bit surprised to find out that they are absolutely, at this point in time, the largest auto supply company in the United States. O'Reilly is headquartered in Springfield. And so I've sent out a message to various departments that use that vendor to make sure that they list that contract number on every PO, even small POs, because it's the cumulative thing that we're trying to safeguard ourselves over a 90-day period, 4,500. It's fairly simple to get to that level when you've got multiple departments using that same vendor. So I've studied different methods on how to research that through the Office of Administration, Jefferson City, the state level, state contracts, so it's completely legal. I have the RSMOs at my fingertips that allow us to do cooperative purchasing and meet those minimum statutory regulations on purchasing. But by the same token, I would have no qualms about putting a bid out on anything that we're slightly concerned about going over that level. The question I put to Boone County, and they couldn't answer me, was how do they measure or estimate those dollar amounts? And that's, you know, that's the moving target in this case. So I'd like to learn more about tournament supply contracts and other some of these other various vehicles that they're using up there. And be able to look at them without having to worry about getting a legal opinion on everything we turn around on.
Do we have the ability through the system that we have to go back in the past and have it tell us, and I see IT's here, so that's good that you're here for that, to define, say, 2 years ago or last year, this was purchased from this vendor in this 90-day period. And it could maybe would be a great help in letting us know whom we should be doing that with.
Go ahead, Rick. I can definitely help some. We could print out a list of vendors that we went over $4,500 for in 2011, and that will be a lot smaller list than all of our vendors total. Some of those we'll already have bids with, and we can eliminate them for sure, so it would be a fairly reasonable amount of vendors to work with. And I believe the term in supply is, and I think that you may find that in the purchasing manual when you get there, Jim, I'm not sure. If, like, for instance, if we wanted to buy supplies from Staples, we wanted to buy supplies from Office Max, we wanted to buy supplies from the, if we actually bid for a year term and they offer to sell us at a maybe a discounted price, maybe it's just their regular catalog price, but that provides them as a bidder, and you can actually award the bid to more than one, I believe, on the term and supply. That's just one example. O'Reilly's would probably fit in with maybe another automotive parts.
We have the ability, if I'm not mistaken, to purchase some things through U.S. communities.
There's a lot of those, yes.
Utilize the state bids in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. That might be something that we could also help weave into this,
yeah.
And through the education process for our different officers.
As we, you know, if we went through that list of vendors, then you could probably eliminate some of those by the fact that they'd already been bid either through U.S. Commodities or maybe through another state agency. We can actually piggyback, I think, on other counties, but I'm not sure. Mr. Erickson may know
yes.
that.
Yes.
Well, no, but that's through something like U.S. Communities, where the county has gone out for bids. And
it's actually called competitive, or rather the cooperative purchasing agreement through the state.
Okay.
From governmental entity to governmental entity. The thing that really governs that, though, is my focus is on other county entities, obviously, because municipalities have a different threshold.
Bid levels, right.
Bid levels, right. And that's where I found O'Reilly was on what's called a PSS contract, which is a public service entity type group cooperative.
Well, the reason that I brought this up today, did you have something, sir? Go right ahead.
I mean, in the IT department, through purchasing computer equipment and stuff, we got with Ron, and there was the WISCA contract that we were, mm-hmm. you know, we found vendors that were under the WISCA contract that pretty much eliminated a lot of those hurdles for us and made us compliant with that kind of purchasing that we did. The other suggestion that I was hoping to bring up, though, is that possibly, and I'm not sure if I understand the situation correctly, but possibly tweaking our or coming out with a newer version of our purchasing software that gave us better reports, maybe more real time, that could kind of throw red flags up in front of us at, you know, and let us know immediately, oh, we've made it to a certain threshold with this vendor. We're going to, you know, different arrangements will have to be made.
I would love to see something like that. I think you already know
yeah. How
I study reports and stuff and documents and stuff, and that's where I found some of this stuff, which by just researching the office administration.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've already been...
Is it something that could red flag out front to let you know that you're within
so many dollars and people be notified that purchased from?
At this point, I think, I mean, the current software that we're using right now is developed in-house. It's definitely dated. You know, I've been working with Sean downstairs, and we've already kind of started directing his attention on this because we've already kind of, Melissa's really brought it to my attention already, and we've been kind of already roundtabling ideas on how we could make our purchasing process, make it for Ron that he would have an application that he could use, see the, you know, we were going to possibly even use the DocuWare document system, scanning bids into that, that would make everything all, you know, archived. But everything's just kind of out in the open right now. We haven't quite put our finger on a plan or decided on how we want to attack it yet. But if we were to do this, I mean, I don't think anything that we're asking for right now or that we're discussing right now is, you know, outside of the realm of impossible to do.
Would that be something that we'd need to have in place? Because I myself would like to see a meeting of all the county elected officials to make them totally aware of what position they could be put in. I mean, I don't think that everybody totally knows that they understand the $4,500 deal, but they don't understand that it's their neighbor that could force them into a situation.
I'm sorry, did you not read that? I mean, there are a number of problems and challenges that we need to address. And I'm going to support whatever efforts that we can bring to this problem and these challenges in order to meet them. The sheriff was here this morning, and we were chatting about this, and I mentioned the legal opinion we just received. And somebody has purchased, which puts us over the $4,500 statute. We ask the council to legally review that. And the law plainly states that officer can be liable for that bill.
Hmm.
Bang.
Wow.
And we are forbidden from approving it. Well, right. That's new to me.
Yeah.
And so we have got to find, and first, I believe you're right, we're going to have to educate, we're going to have to talk to all the elected officials and department heads, because when it comes to us and we're prohibited from doing it, we're not going to do it. And the other side of the coin is, if we don't catch it and it's paid, someone can make the officer pay it back out of his or her pocket. We don't want that. So we're looking to you guys. We need your help to find ways to
address. I'm already kind of imagining a web-based application that could be brought up from any workstation within the county. You know, right now, the current purchasing software has to be put on a certain computer, and then they can actually look up the purchasing information. I mean, Melissa knows her way in and out of it very well, but I wouldn't say anybody else. There's probably a select few that actually knows how to go ahead and search and figure out what's what within that. But if we made a web-based application that could be brought up from any computer in the county, that before they went ahead and said, I need to order some more of this, they could actually have a list of selected vendors in there, and actually it could show where they are in that threshold right there off the bat and, you know, prevent that from even happening. I mean, at that point, I don't understand the process of what would need to take place if a certain vendor is at that $4,500 limit, but at least it's stopped there at that point, and that person's, you know, they understand what the situation is, and they know they have to take a different route to get the goods that they need, at least.
I think in the corporate world, there's various types of software out there to monitor, for instance, inventory and replenishment processes, and those processes or those types of software are at the mercy of the user. The end user has to input their activity.
Yep.
If you're pulling something off a shelf and you don't correctly check that item out, then it's never going to appear on that other list that you're looking at for replenishment purposes. Same type of mentality exists here. I mean, if I had a mechanism, like she's fixed me when I had some of the elected officials were asking me about POs that were pending,
And unless I manually went in and fired up the purchase software at random, I had no idea if there were POs pending.
Right.
But she fixed that. Somebody else might be irritated by the method by which she fixed it. These emails, I mean, I get an email every time there's a PO, and I may get, you know, usually at lunch, I might get 10 in a row. I don't mind that. Because
right.
I know that I've got something hot on the grill, and I need to get that finished up as soon as I can. Something like that would be incredible. I mean, this day and age, we should be able to do that.
We can actually, in the system we have now, we could probably do something like that with the 4,500 over 90 days. Once they got within a specific threshold, I would email you that they're within $500 or that particular vendor is within $500.
That would be awesome. Then we could either bid it or shut it down.
Well, here's what we have to define first. Is that 90 days described as being 3 months, the first 3 months of the year? Is it done quarterly? Is it any 90 days?
Any 90 days, Your Honor.
So it's halfway through April and it's halfway through here. So it's at any given point? Mm-hmm. You can't look one way or the other and be, no?
It's a current, go ahead. It says 90 days, and that would be any 90-day period.
So if I want to purchase something today, it includes the last 89 days. Mm-hmm. And if I want to purchase it 6 months from now,
it would include the last 89 days.
Just the last, okay. So now address that.
Easy.
Okay, yeah, it's
good.
Fairly easy because,
we just need some kind of a threshold of we're within $500 or within $1,000.
I would suggest more than 500 because you have people that may spend 200 and you have 200 in one department, 100, 200 in another department, you can hit 500 really quick. I would say at least 1,000, maybe 1,500. When we worked with this before, I think that what I did was sent a purchasing agent a list of vendors that we actually reached $3,000 with the year before. And then I don't know what they did with them, but I'm assuming that they took those and researched which ones they needed to bid out and which ones they needed to put maybe a term of supply bid in place, whatever. The danger of this program, again, we want the county to run efficiently, and one of the things that surprised me is I've assumed that the state bid would be the best place you could buy vehicles. Not necessarily so. We found that out. Danny, I think you'd probably vouch for me. We've actually gone out to bid for some vehicles that we got a lot better bid when we went out for bid.
That's true with our department. When we purchased the new servers for the recorder's office, there were some government contracts.
WISCA
wasn't the cheapest.
The cheapest at all.
It was this time around. It wasn't by much, but we already had another bid that the vendor couldn't actually. When it came time, we got it approved, and the vendor actually couldn't honor the pricing at that point, but the government contract itself wasn't the most cost-effective route.
Most of the U.S. commodities bids that I've looked at are not good bids at all.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think that's a big part of this minutiae that I'm getting from Boone County that I'd love to go and learn a little bit more about, because I think the reason she has a 69-page contract on some of those, even on some of those cooperative purchases, is she's putting some stuff in there that her legal people are helping her put in there that require the vendor who signs on the dotted line, if you want to participate, you're going to have to honor a 10% discount or honor a 6% discount, just like Rick said when he first sat down. The terms and conditions contracts that I'm looking at here include certain ramifications, certain requirements that are very, very detailed, and they offer discounts. Because we don't want to just jump on the bandwagon of something like this PSS contract with O'Reilly unless we're getting the best pricing through them, and we are, or WISCA, which we found out that we weren't. So, I mean, the reason I'm here is to save the county money and to spend our dollars wisely, for sure, not just meet legal requirements too, but do all of the above. Should have just said yes.
It's the
simplest answer.
I was good with yes.
I was too. I was fine with yes. He had me at yes.
I think I heard him ask you for
you
more.
You asked for it. Sure. You got it. Should have got a lot more, actually.
Thanks for your input, Rick. Jim, more comments regarding this?
We need to fix it. I mean, it's an obviously...
Mr. Erickson, lead us down the right path. And if that includes you visiting Boone County or another place or two to get this done, my recommendation is you do that.
Would it also be the recommendation for him to get with department heads and elected officials, let them know that we are facing this issue and that... Unfortunately, if we see any violations to this bidding process, we're going to stop those purchases.
And what that means, what that fully means is there won't be any procurement cards if we feel that this is going to be violated.
If that's contributing to the issue.
If this $4,500 threshold is violated, there won't be cards to make those purchases with. We cannot...
We're not going to
violate this statute.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess I would probably put everyone, if you want to, say that you're looking into, and this could mean the elimination of procurement cards if it contributes to the issue of violating the statute, if it means we're going to have to staff a central purchasing department and take all purchasing decisions away from the field. I mean, we will not buy. I will not be a part of violating the statute, and I don't think these gentlemen will be either. So,
we don't mean to seem hard. We just don't want to violate the law.
Exactly.
I don't know how else to say that.
There are procedures that, and I was visiting there with. Dixie, and she had a call from a road and bridge employee that was repairing a truck and asked about the replacement of a radiator, and I said, I think there's, which was going to cost more than the $500, but the fact that you've got a certain brand of a vehicle versus, but I don't know whether you come into some competition about, like, O'Reilly being in, I mean, might have a radiator available, or one of the other companies might have a radiator available. That's it. We're just using examples here, but it's a pretty good question. How do you address that unless you have those people under this term and contract deal that you're talking about? Wasn't that the way you put it?
Well, we're going to add this to Mr. Erickson's list of headaches so that.
I just call Ronnie Armour and let him find one. He can find a radiator pretty cheap, I bet.
Well,
any other comments regarding this particular item?
No.
Yes, sir.
Are we going to have a scheduled meeting? I guess
he's going to take the lead and determine what's the best course of action.
So,
Mr. Strahan would appreciate it if you would let the elected officials and department heads know that we have an issue, we need to deal with the issue, and the commission is determined to make sure that we, in fact, do meet this challenge.
I think the idea of having a meeting is a great idea because when I communicate one-on-one with some of these folks, they indicate that they weren't aware of the detail of some of these rules and stuff.
Well, and not only
that,
I think they're going to be grateful that we're looking for a solution, hopefully.
Absolutely.
That's where we're headed.
I see a couple things taking place. That's the work between you and Ron, the IT department, Ron, and then I see some things having to take place before you be willing to come to us and say, look, we want to have a meeting with the elected officials and department heads and make it clear.
Document retention and preservation. This is one more issue that I asked to be
on. No, you're not done.
Today's agenda, Mr. Erickson.
Thanks for the heads up.
Have you got that? No. The only reason that I put that on today's agenda, Ron, was because due to my having to leave on Friday, you and I were going to meet and begin the process of sketching the bid that will be necessary for us to go out for what's needed within the courthouse system. And I wanted the renewed blessing, if you will, of the other two commissioners to go ahead and work with you to prepare that and then to bring back to the commission our perspective of what those bid specs should be.
And I'm perfectly fine with that, yeah. You need to bring those specs back to us.
Then I'll work with you, Ron, and we'll... I've got a file on that. I know you've got a file on that.
Yes.
We'll meld those, and maybe we can move forward. Is there anything else we can give Ron?
That we can give Ron? I got a list upstairs, but we'll just stop with that. We don't run them off yet.
Need a couple more minutes.
Well, no, I've got some questions about some coding.
Okay.
We're on accounts payable. I think, Ron, you're done.
Oh.
Not that I'm releasing you.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming in.
That's sewer.
Having some input on this. We're going to need a lot of input.
I don't understand why we're doing this. That's the question.
Well, there's two comments here on that. I know that...
Here's one, too. They were pulling a 780. I know why about this one. That's legal fees that we're responsible for.
Oh?
No, just that one line item.
Well, the others, rather than contingency, if I'm not mistaken, we had a line item set up within the county's commission's portion of that 780 fund to take care of certain expenses that were not folding over to the sewer district.
Let me pull the... If you guys don't
that
mind...
That might be what that is.
Let me pull this up real fast.
You bet.
Is it before you make a motion on approval?
Yes, because we may have to recode something real fast. It's not very much, but I just want to do it right.
I just wanted to know if you'd approve accounts payable, but you're disgusting.
What'd she call me? Disgusting?
She's disgusting.
Okay. Thank you, Danny.
Ron really didn't put anything in there. This is what we approved. So
your wheels do work. You could have rolled over here.
That's right. There's too much noise.
Okay. Here are the revenues.
Yes.
This is our portion right here. Yeah, there's nothing in these three line items.
So everything is contained within contingency?
Yeah, I guess we can take it out of that line item, which is 780. 55. That's where they took it from. It was right there. So that's it. And this is because...
Still low. No, down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're up. Hold okay.
All right. So this, after approving the administration, passing that through.
Right.
And there's these phases, so that's it, I guess.
Right. Okay. So that's where they're pulling it.
No.
And well, this is something we...
Where's the cities?
Disbursement, right here. This is under concept phase, though. So this is what we're passing. We didn't pass any of that. That is incorporated areas right here. It's up in our private area.
Okay, that's what's on.
Yeah.
Prior years.
Right. So that's under the commission.
Incorporated areas 12 here.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's in the commission's control. This is not. So
contingency fund, if in fact it is ours.
It is ours. All right. Then, ladies and germs. I'll move that we approve accounts payable checks 327861 through 328031, warrants 5585, 5586, and 5587.
There to there, those three.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made to approve checks 327861 through 328031 and warrants 5585, 5586, and 5587. Discussion?
Okay, I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
On this, it has that. What does that say? Titan. That doesn't have it. This is, has something. What does that mean? I didn't see anything in here. Joanna, can you come into the commission hearing room, please? I just don't know what that means, so I saw it different from there. That's why I wanted to hold it just for a second.
Yep, you bet.
Let me look at the copy.
Okay, it doesn't say anything, Dean. It just has some initials on it.
That's probably time of approval.
You will ask fast if you don't mind. You can discuss this more.
Because of the other dates that's put on there, I'd guess that it was time of approval.
Is he going to ask that question?
I guess.
Motion has been made and seconded. We approve accounts payable as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. Can't think of anything else that we have on today's agenda.
This is just paperwork I promised to give you last Thursday, which I didn't.
Yes.
So this is your copies for your reading at home. So we're not supposed to discuss, but I did promise to give them to you, and that's the way I've done that. You're right, Mr. Hausman, though there's nothing else to discuss.
There are some others here.
We haven't done through this. We're going to do that yet. I'll take this back upstairs.
Yeah.
Take that upstairs. This came out of the auditor's office. That's what was handed to me during that discussion. If you want a copy of that. This was supposed to be, one of these documents was a direct reflection of this. But, I don't know.
Sure.
That's your copy?
No, I'll give that to Mr. Erickson.
Okay. That's all I show. And you...
I'll make notes here that you bring up.
Oh, and then we should have an update tomorrow about this. As soon as I hear something, we'll call a conference. They're getting some results back. They think tomorrow midday. They don't know what time.
Okay.
There was a minutes there. I'll tell her. We need to make those available whenever I'm in the office early in the morning or something. I can read through those and get her initial on.
Right.
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, she has them upstairs in the lock file cabinet.
Okay.
I believe Nikki does.
All right.
So. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.